Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast, where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to turn a humble idea into a baseball pitch. Get it? Pitch for an awesome movie. I'm your jet skiing. Or I guess it wasn't jet skiing. It was
too many topics you've thrown into this intro already.
You've broken the intro, Freddie.
It's a real potpourri. It's Freddie Wong, and it's too early for all this cool ideas.
Hey, it's me, the Will. Oop, this jukebox is broken. I better elbow it real quick. Thonk. Hey, now it's playing the Beach Boys, right? Yeah.
This is Matt Hammerhead Arnold, and I'm a shark.
Cool.
I like the direction Matt took with it.
Thank you.
He took a very academic approach.
I didn't want to narrow us down into doing a, I was gonna say Happy Years. That's not the name of the show.
Happy Days.
Happy Years. Yeah. Happy Years.
You're halfway between the Wonder Years and the Happy Days.
Happy Years is the sequel. Is the elderly sequel. It's all them in a home just talking about the happier years.
The happy years.
This week, we're tackling a phrase you may have heard on the internet, a phrase that is long overdue to be applied to this very podcast.
The phrase that relates to this episode so far.
Jumping the shark.
The jump the shark movie.
The jump the shark movie.
All right. Well,
you want to explain to everybody where the phrase
jump the shark came from? So,
well, first, what does the phrase mean?
So the phrase, a TV show or movie or book series jumps the shark at the point at which it's sort of like, so there's two kind of versions of this. There is like, it's just basically the point at which the show or thing starts to become bad is, you know, yeah. So like one might argue, as much as it's even possible for a show as good as Frasier to jump the shark, you might argue that Frasier jumped the shark when Daphne and Niles got married, even though there's still some late season bangers in there.
Yeah. I actually like them better when they're married, but that's just me.
I feel like Daphne's a little less interesting. I feel like towards
that's
the end,
true.
She kind of becomes
weird.
Like a, they kind of don't know what to do with her at the end.
Very famously, maybe Game of Thrones, there's a lot of discussion because that's a show where it very much felt like everyone loved it and then everyone hated it.
Yes, Game of Thrones.
That show jumped the shark when they greenlit it, am I right? Everybody, hot take, Arnold.
It jumps, yeah, good one, Matt. This is very funny.
Nice.
There's a lot of YouTube discourse about when The Simpsons jumped the shark. You can find many academic paper on that very subject. The phrase itself comes from the show we were referencing at the beginning. My voice is cracking like I'm in puberty. The Happy Days. In Happy Days, there was an episode where the Fonz jumps a shark on water skis, and he jumps like over a shark in like the lake or whatever. Like, and
it's like some dare.
It's like a big Evel Knievel kind of stunt.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever seen the scene. Now that I think
it's
about
very
it.
Good.
It's very.
It's
silly.
Also the best scene in that show. So I disagree with the use of it for explaining this show.
It's like, first of all, how dare you? Happy Days is an incredible show. What's interesting about this scene is it really feels like a confluence of everything going on in the 1970s. And obviously, like 50s nostalgia was huge, but also stuntmen like Evel Knievel were huge.
That's
so
true.
It seems like a no-brainer that they would be like, oh, the Fonz is going to do like an Evel Knievel stunt.
Yeah, it works well because often the phrase, it's usually you can tell it. I feel like a TV especially is very much the moment where like, I think just organically a TV show gets to a point where it's been around long enough that the writers on the show are now originally fans of the show. And there's just like an inherent like meta quality to TV. And then the moment it does, because like, yeah, that moment's clearly like, hey, like it'd be fun if Fonz was like Evel Knievel. And it's like, oh, OK, so this is no longer like a show about characters anymore.
You've ran out of ideas.
Yeah, yeah. This is like a show about a show.
Yeah, a show about itself almost. Yeah. So, yeah. So I don't Freddie was like, let's do Jump the Shark. Let's do a movie about jumping a shark.
Oh, OK. I got to say, I just watched the scene. It's very different than what I thought it would be.
Yeah.
I thought he jumped, like, I thought he used the back of the shark as a ramp.
No.
To jump off shark. No. And I see now that it is, in fact, they've set up a ramp around a cordoned off area of water wherein a shark is sort of blissfully swimming.
Well, yeah, he jumps over a
and
shark.
That's 1,000 times less good than what was in my mind. And I'm extraordinarily disappointed right now.
I'm trying to imagine the world in which a TV show made in the 70s had the production budget to do what you just described with him kick-flipping off of a literal shark.
That's what was in my head.
They like had the leftover Jaws. They would have done it like in the Universal Studios lot with like the Jaws.
Oh, you know what? I wonder, what year is that episode? Because I wonder if it's also trying to catch in on the Jaws frame.
1977.
Yep. Wow. Yeah, it really is a little time capsule. universal, isn't it?
Okay, but so what we're doing specifically is not necessarily, we're not doing like a meta thing about like a TV show falling apart. We're just doing a movie whose title is Jump the Shark.
Yeah, but I feel like we should sneak in some of these thematics into the...
Well, yeah, of course.
Let me just
course.
Start by saying that a group of international daredevils slash bank heist connoisseurs, mm-hmm. a la Ocean's 11, a la Fast and Furious, a la, yeah, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But one of them had, they have to grind a sh- like, you know what I mean? Say, like, they have to jump an actual shark.
Yeah, because- no, I was gonna say, this is clearly a Point Break movie, and like, jumping the shark is seen as like
the
yo,
coolest
man,
possible
that
thing.
That surfer
you could do.
Dude, he jumped the shark one time. It's all about like, it's the phrase for like the ultimate thing you can do is like, a, or what's the skiing behind a boat?
Water skiing?
Water skiing.
Water skiing? Yeah, water skiing. It's like, yeah, like they're cool water skiers that also rob banks with presidents. Masks on, but like the ultimate thing is like, yo man, Bodie, one time he jumped, he's like, he
Bodie?
Always wanted to jump the shark.
Yeah, oh, Bodie.
I think meant like Boaty, like you're like neat, like after Boaty, a boat.
Yeah, Boaty.
Okay, all right, so Boaty. This is now a children's show. It's a bunch of like anthropomorphic
boats
and they all are
and a shark,
you know,
named, and it's about a shark named Jump. He's Jump the Shark.
It's just Point Break. Oh my god! In the end of the movie.
What? Okay, real quick, we'll just figure out the ultimate cop out to this episode, which is it's a shark named Jump who wants to jump like a like Free Willy does. Like he sees the movie Free Willy.
Oh
somehow.
My god! You're right.
And it's then just it's Little just Mermaid,
like, and wants to do like a high jump out of the water, but it's like Jump. There's no, you can't jump out of the water. Sharks are meant to eat.
Here's the movie. Hear me out. The year is 1992. Everyone still thinks SeaWorld is cool. SeaWorld is flush in cash. SeaWorld decides to make a movie about a great white shark that wants to become a SeaWorld fish. Do you know what I mean? Like, because it's, again, it lives in the bay near
like
SeaWorld
propaganda.
And it sees all the cool, sees Shamu doing all the fucking stunts. Yeah.
They take the babe tech and they make the fucking animals talk.
Oh my god. It'd be a kid sees like a shark in the bay and calls it Jump the Shark when it's a little baby. And then once it gets big enough, people get scared because now there's a shark in the water. Mm. But then they see it jump. So then SeaWorld's like, hey, don't kill that shark, we'll take it. So now Jump the Shark is in SeaWorld.
Oh, that's
and this kid,
great.
And yeah, there's like the mean like bureaucrat who's like, this shark's gonna make us millions. Like nobody wants to watch whales jump anymore. And then the kid thinks it's cool at first because he gets to visit his shark buddy like in SeaWorld, but then he realizes that shark buddy's sad. It's just Free Willy. And
you know what's great about this? Can I say what's great about this really quick?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What would be great about in this alternate timeline where someone makes Jump, comma, the shark. In this alternate timeline, there are hundreds of more people who die from shark attacks because of this movie.
Oh, because we make... Because
they're going to be like, oh, sharks are nice. And then it's like all the science groups are coming out being like, please, no. Like all the marine biologists are just falling out of their seats, writing op-eds to their local papers, being like, this movie is dangerous.
No, the marine biologists would be yes. Freddie, they spend all their time talking about the fact that sharks are nice.
Do they?
I don't know if they say that sharks are nice. They're just saying that we shouldn't...
I'm pretty sure marine biologists don't say sharks are nice, Matt.
No, they say they don't really bother you. It's like the great... There's like a few really aggressive...
It's like bees.
Ones. It's like bees, yeah.
Hi, this is Will Campos from Story Break. If you're in the water and you see a shark, swim away from it.
Well, yeah, swim away from it. The same way they just swim away from, like, or swim away, or move away from any wild animal because it's their fucking
no,
home.
No, but there is, after Jaws came out, there was a whole, like, so we have to murder all the sharks now kind of movement. Yeah. And then that was very bad for sharks. So this would really just be kind of like a counterbalance.
Okay.
But I'm intrigued because I feel like we accidentally just speed ran the episode.
Yeah, we did it, man.
Well, here, let's mix
days,
it up.
We're
no,
gonna have the ball.
Let me zag.
One of these days. We're gonna have the balls to when we speed run an episode to have the fucking courtesy to our listeners to end this shit right here, like just straight up celebrate. Will, tell me about the fucking
no,
fan
this is
art,
lame
and we're
shit.
Done, baby. And then people are like, "Whoa!" Because here's the problem, Matt. Here's the problem. Here's
no,
the problem.
All you did was restate Free Willy with the word Whoa, shark.
No,
we
that's not
shit
true.
Yet.
That's not true. Free Willy, the Shamu is already in the thing, and it's like he bonds with the
okay,
thing.
We added a
this
good
is
first
like
act.
I was picturing like a fun DreamWorks kind of animated movie about a shark, like Ratatouille. Ratatouille wants to be a shark. He wants to do jumps. Right?
Yeah, Ratatouille, the famous DreamWorks animation.
Look, let me give our fucking viewers the money. Let me satisfy their desire for a good Story Break episode. Here's what I propose.
Okay.
Let's jam these two ideas together. Listen here. It is Point Break, Ocean's 11. Mm-hmm. It's a crew of criminals who are going to rob a bank. But this bank is on a yacht. It's a big yacht.
The SeaWorld.
And they're like, hey, who are we going to get? It's like, okay, we get a crack. We get a safe cracker. We get like an explosive expert. We get all these people. They're like, well, who's the last person we can get? And the guy's like, don't worry. I know somebody who we're going
to
need for
cut
this
to
job.
Them cut to popcorn.
A talking shark named Jump the Shark.
So much.
No, Matt. Cut to they're eating popcorn and they're in the splash zone at a water, like a SeaWorld, and they're like, "What the fuck are we doing here? Wait.
Oh,
and then
yes,
they all get
yes,
splashed.
So
they get splashed, like, ugh. And it's like him right there, and the guy's sopping wet. It's like him right there. It's like, that's our man. Like, it's a shark. Cut to like, back.
Yes. Could you imagine? They're like, well, we're going to ride a shark. It's like, no, you don't get it. And they're like, don't worry. I know somebody here at SeaWorld. They'll let us in the back. And they're like, and then, they walk into the feeding tank and he hands a guy like 20 bucks, like, we'll only be a couple minutes. And they walk up to the water. They're like, what are we doing here? Like, I saw that shark can jump. What's the point? Like, we gotta fucking rob this thing. And the shark comes out of the water and just fucking babe tech starts talking. He's like, hey, what do you want, buddy? It's like, we need I have a job for you. They're like, I don't know what you're talking about. I like it here. People give SeaWorld a bad rap, but frankly, I get fed every day. It's pretty good. You know, the last job I did with you almost got me killed. I think I'm gonna call it quits.
He leans over and lights a cigarette for the shark.
I'm calling it quits.
Like, aren't you getting tired of here getting boxed in? I got another score. Last time you got me a score, got me thrown in this joint in the first place. Like, is SeaWorld prison for the shark?
No, it's prison, but I think he's like retired. He's like, is accepted his life. He's like,
well, yeah, because you did the last.
You're satisfied just watching kids laugh at you, like, jump like a seal. And he's like, I know what you want. You want the thrill. You want
sure, you got to splash your fin and splash some grandmas in the splash zone every so often, but what, who cares?
The prequel to this movie is essentially that this guy and this talking shark did a heist together, and then
yes. He
went to jail, and the shark was going to get, like, euthanized or something, and then SeaWorld was like, wait a second, a talking, jumping shark?
Yes.
We'll take him
yes.
off your hands, and then he's been in SeaWorld
ever
since.
There's that time period in the 90s where there's so many fucking movies about somebody doing something with a monkey. It's time sharks get their due. Like, it's time for Operation Dumbo Drop, though, that was about an elephant, but with a shark. Mm-hmm. But this shark
is a cool criminal. What was the movie, Kangaroo Jack?
Cool
was that the
criminals.
I literally, okay, so Freddie, I literally have the plot synopsis of Kangaroo Jack up in another tab because I had this exact same thought like 5 minutes ago. I was like, what the fuck was that movie about again?
The
great minds
like not
truly think alike.
So, okay, this sentence about Kangaroo Jack is incredible. The film was panned by critics who criticized the acting, directing, writing, humor, violence, and innuendos, especially for a family film, and false advertising.
This movie sounds like it rules.
It sounds like
wait, so
all
my
the
question
boxes.
Is, does the kangaroo talk in Kangaroo Jack?
I do not. I think the weird thing
in
with
the dream sequence,
Kangaroo Jack literally is like almost like a Guy Ritchie kind of wacky crime caper, and then
yes.
like the kangaroo is in it for like all of 5 minutes, if I remember what the actual hullabaloo.
Yeah,
was.
I think the kangaroo's in a bit, but it only talks. They're either on drugs or like dehydrated and hot, stuck in a desert, and then they imagine he's talking. And then the marketer's like, "This movie's terrible," and they're
okay,
watching
okay,
the movie
okay.
like, "This scene is the entire movie."
You're absolutely
it's,
right. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like Snow Dogs.
Wait. You know, wait. Are you reading the wiki right now?
No, I just know it because we've done this before. It's like Snow Dogs. Also,
okay.
Is another
okay, hold
one.
On. Initially, the film was titled Down and Under. And was shot as an R-rated mob comedy in the style of Midnight Run. The film was shot in Australia in August 2001 and originally included cursing, sex, and violence, and only one scene with a kangaroo. However, when the film's producer saw the first cut, they realized that it wasn't working as expected. Inspired, interesting word there, by positive response to the kangaroo scene in early test screens, as well as the marketing campaign behind the recently released Snow Dogs, the production shifted marketing focus away from that of a dark mafia comedy to a family-friendly animal picture. Extensive new footage that replaced the animatronic kangaroo with a new CGI one that rapped.
Yeah, dude.
If I remember, Snow Dogs was sold as like Cuba Gooding Jr. with a bunch of talking dogs.
Yeah.
But then if you saw the movie, it was like one of those survival, like
yeah, it's,
one
it's
actor
based on the
stuck
Gary
in the
Paulson
woods barely
novel.
Dying. Mm-hmm. And then the only reason they talk is he's like dying in one scene and like hallucinates them talking. That's the whole movie. A bunch of families went to see it and they're like, what the hell are we watching?
All right. This has been a nice little derail from Down Under, but I feel like we kind of killed the momentum of the shark heist movie. So let's circle back.
This shark heist movie is fucking good.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
This is a good movie.
I just
want to
just real quick, before we leave this beautiful world of the Outback,
mm-hmm.
the kangaroo, now called Kangaroo Jack, is still living happily in the Outback. Now able to speak again, Jack breaks the fourth wall, explaining why the film should end with him, and closes it with his version of Porky Pig's famous catchphrase, "That's all, blokes."
Fuck it, why not? That's what they said when they wrote
it. Oh, wow, Michael, this cast, Michael Shannon's in this?
Yeah, it was a lot of
Could you imagine being like, all right, it's a real Guy Ritchie picture, it's a real crime caper, and then going to see it, and there's a fucking CG kangaroo they've added to the entire movie. Anyway, all right.
Can you imagine the director, like, just talking to all his friends, be like, I'm doing this dope-ass movie. Okay, okay.
You know, it won the Kids' Choice Award for favorite fart,
and I'm begging you to stop telling me about Kangaroo Jack.
Okay,
for the
we're
going to
beat
God.
That, by the way. Okay, this movie, by the way, has to also win Best
The Kids'
Fart
Choice
Award.
Award for Best
yes,
Fart, yeah.
Award for
Is
best
that still
fart.
A category, the Kids' Choice Award?
Okay, okay.
Okay, all right, let's circle wagons here.
Did we do three good movies already? I think we did. Okay, are we going to do this?
This is our Jump the Shark episode.
This is our Jump the Shark episode.
All right. Okay, it's Jump the Shark. It's a talking shark in the world of a hardcore crime caper. It's somewhat Kangaroo Jack-esque.
Oh,
but
this is what we do. This movie, yes, this is the other way we make it fucking good. This movie is straight up hard R. Like, it's like no kids movie.
Yeah.
Ted or Deadpool or something.
It's Ted.
Yeah, it's
Thank
Ted
you.
With
There's
a shark.
There's the comp. Now we can sell it. Fuck yes. Fuck yes. I could. This idea didn't work until I could point to something else that worked with it. It is Ted. Nobody fucking
okay,
like,
so it's
can't,
Ted,
like it's weird, but everybody accepts it in the world of the movie.
So
also, they're like, yeah, it's a talking shark.
It's Ted meets Sexy Beast, but Ben Kingsley is a talking shark. Is what you're telling me.
Yes, it's so good.
All right,
because they're gonna rob a yacht. It's like, which by the way, like taking out a yacht. I mean, right? The pirates got it figured out. Like that's hard. Like cops ain't gonna stop you. Like you're out in the middle of the ocean. If you can heist a yacht, that's good as shit. Just the problem is. You're not a shark.
Okay.
We're not sharks.
All right. So hear me out. Our mark on the yacht is a aquatic version of a big game hunter.
Oh, yes.
They're like a Russian oligarch. And,
oh, he's trying to get like a giant squid
and
or something.
It's like, you know, like goes around killing blue whales for fun.
Holy shit.
It's like, come on, you'd fucking hate this person, right? Like you'd be like,
no, this is
brilliant.
So good. You crushed it. The bad guy. I mean, this is very Paddington, actually, but whatever. Same fucking thing. Mm-hmm. When
also
you get
a movie
to the
where
heist,
no one questions
the bad
it.
Guy spins around. And it's like, don't you get it? This was all a plan. The job wasn't for you to fucking rob my yacht.
You were the job.
The job was to break out the shark because I've been wanting to fucking kill a talking like all I wanted to do was hunt that talking shark, but it's been stuck in SeaWorld. And I knew if I made a target too good for you, you'd fucking break it out.
So it's the classic. Okay, so like, and I'm just like, so it's like, let's say it's like Nicole Kidman, right? So it's she's the queen of the Russian underworld, and she's well, that's not making Russians. It's always Russians. She's the queen of the Nantucket underworld because I've been reading Moby Dick. So basically, she's wanted to, like, she's this big game hunter, and she has been wanting to capture this shark, and so basically she realized that the shark's old crew were the only ones good enough to break the shark out of SeaWorld, and they'd only do it for a job, you know, the size of the moon, so this has all been this trap. They don't realize that she is their mysterious benefactor, and it's like the end of that Doctor Who season where, like, the big thing that they're the vault they're gonna bust into is a shark tank for the shark so that she can trap it
and have a talking shark in her collection. That's very good. Can Nicole Kidman be
the voice of the shark?
The
absolutely.
no, not the shark. No, don't stick her. No, she's too good. No, she's like the ocean. She's 11.
All right,
she's ocean.
So she's 11. She's Danny Ocean.
She's 11.
She's 11.
She's 11.
Wait, Ocean's 11.
Ocean's 11. Except it's a Stranger Things.
Hey, T Fury. Hey, T Fury. You know that asinine mashup T-shirt you've been looking for?
Okay.
Well, listen to this.
Nicole Kidman plays an older 11 many decades
I'm not yes-handing this. Okay.
Okay.
So very good.
But yes, I think that I want Nicole Kidman to be Ocean.
So she's,
I want her to be the main,
she's a grizzled ex-marine biologist fell into a life of crime.
Yes. Yes, because marine biologists don't get paid for shit.
Was she ex-SeaWorld, maybe?
No. I don't think that you ever worked at SeaWorld.
Okay, so she's just she's just got her own cool criminal Danny Ocean backstory.
Yes.
And so the old job was her and the shark, and they heisted a riverboat casino or like a cruise ship or something like that.
Down in the Mississippi, a riverboat like paddle casino.
Hear me out. You do that, their backstory.
The shark went down the Mississippi. It's what happened. Why not?
The Adventures of Sharkleberry Finn. Okay. Sailing down very the good. Wide Mississippi. Okay, so hear me out. So here's what you do. Here's what you do.
Okay.
It's shit. This is just, I just realized now we're just grifting off of our very good Jurassic Park episode, because I was going to be like, you do that. She and the shark are like a duo.
Will, real quick, how do you remember anything on this show? Like, I can't, like, you constantly are like, oh, this is, we did this one on this episode, episode 4. I'm like, how do you remember any of this stuff?
You're Freddie, like, because you like yourself deep down, whereas I'm still struggling. Like, my brain is always figuring out ways to tell me that I'm unoriginal or repeating myself. So, like, it was just a whole, like, sort of, like, process in my mind that's dedicated to that. Like,
oh,
that,
I see.
You
I
know,
see.
It's like every embarrassing thing I've ever said, every bad take I've ever had, it's all in there. It's all waiting.
What's the most embarrassing thing you have from high school kicking around?
No, let's not.
Oh, my God.
Let's not get into
I
that.
I
want
to hear
right
it later at the end of the episode.
So
at the end also, of the episode,
I'm so okay. Okay,
so,
Nicole Goodman.
Okay, so I was gonna say, like, she and the shark used to be like a, you know, like, where she was like the SeaWorld handler and he was like the Shamu, and they would go do, like, you know, rich kids' birthday parties and stuff like that, and then but then like with,
no, that's
this
so
was their
shit
cover
for
their
backstory,
heists, right? Yeah.
Or she did. She was a marine biologist, mm-hmm. and they don't make fucking money because nobody respects them because they look at the ocean all the time.
We are gonna get so many angry marine biologists in the Twitter. Like, from that comment alone, we just lost the marine biologist argument entirely. Fuck.
But
I'm
like,
so sorry.
She's like having struggle. No, it's also like she's having trouble paying her bills and shit. And yes, she, you know, the only job that you can get as a marine biologist where you make some money is SeaWorld back in the day. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, as she's like, she's looking at her bills,
oh, it's
like
degrading,
you know,
as
her
hell
feet
too.
Are in the water, and she's looking at like her mortgages. She's like past due on her mortgage, and the shark's like, you having trouble? It's like, wait, what the fuck? And that was like the seed. And then, yes, like this started her life of crime, and then she loved it. And then her and the shark started this heist, you know, this heisting group, and for years they were just robbing.
I love that we're coming in on like the fifth movie in this
yes,
series.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes.
Well, that's what's fun about Ocean's Love. It's all backstory.
That's
it's like
true.
The,
yeah,
it's like
that's
hint.
True. So, yeah. Okay, so yes, you do. That was how she and the shark became partners.
Yes.
But like after their last job, he got thrown in the clink and she just got out. And so now she's coming to him for the job.
Yes.
Okay, that's very good.
Okay, who's the mark?
Yeah, Nicole Kidman. You got a shark voiced by Jemaine Clements. And you've got
Ben Kingsley.
Or Ben Kingsley.
Just Ben Kingsley. Come on, Nicole Kidman, Ben Kingsley. This is a hard R movie looking for an Oscar. This is good. Ben Kingsley, Nicole Kidman. This is a stacked cast so far.
And you sell it to Sir Ben by being like, hey, it's going to be like a really serious.
Sir Ben, you sell it to Sir Ben, be like, you've done fucking 3 U-Bowl movies. Fucking just sit in the booth for 4 days and get
take
paid
your check for
$500,000
and get the fuck out of here.
Easiest fucking job in the world. No respect. Just do your job. Talk like a shark. Get your paycheck and go home. That's what you say to Sir Ben. Nah, I love Ben Kingsley. So yes, the fun of Ocean's 11 was like, the mark was good because it was like, you're going to rob like this casino, like on like while it's operating. Operating. Like, this is fun, big mm-hmm. fucking spectacle, you know, Las Vegas strip, like, great. So yacht's cool, but what's going on? Like, you don't want it to be like, oh, it's this billionaire on like a family vacation with like, you know, his family and, you know, some servants like out on a boat. No, you want it to be like, is this like the launch of a mega yacht and like all the top CEOs of the world? Because like the fun of it is also like they seem to be heisting it in like the most inopportune time because you want it to be as challenging as possible.
So yes, you do that.
Oh, you know what it is? Here's the timing of it. All right. The billionaire is going to hunt a like deep sea squid, right? And they've tracked this squid down to the Marianas Trench.
Mm-hmm.
So the billionaire is away from their boat so that they need to disable all the crazy, like they have a window where the billionaire's like down under the ocean with his like gun mech in the Marianas Trench. And all the world's media has gathered for this momentous moment. There's protesters, Greenpeace is there, like just spectators, onlookers. There's a YouTube live stream, but this is the only time that they're going to be outside of their boat. So all the biometric security is disabled so that the party can happen unimpeded in the kitchen set. So that's like the only window they have, but everyone's watching.
Fred, I think you've landed on something. Not the squid, but I think the Marianas Trench, bear with me, this is what it is. So with all the Panama Papers and all the internet, like, you know, mm-hmm. right, it's like the reporters coming back. The banks are having problems. Deutsche Bank just arrested Trump in 2026 or whatever. Deutsche.
Not bad, actually.
What this is a billionaire mm-hmm. is like, I have the ultimate bank for all of us billionaires, the best people in the world, the cream of the crop.
It's in the Marianas Trench.
Yes, yes. So there's this like mega yacht hanging over the Marianas Trench that's just like a fucking like hedon palace of casinos and fun. And like, yeah, if you're a billionaire, you get a fly or boat over there, have a good time, put your valuables in the most secure place on earth, buried in the Marianas Trench. And this is what's opening. So yes, you have all the billionaires and all the richest people in the world. This is like the opening of the bank, and they're all putting their money in there, and this is what they're going to heist.
Matt, the problem, I just want to point out that the problem with offshore banks isn't the fact that these billionaires don't have a place to put their physical location to put their gold in. It's more of a assets and hiding it from their governments.
Holy thing. Shit. You know what's the problem with Moonraker is that the problem isn't that lasers no, are on
right,
the moons.
Right, so right. Like, I rescind my comment. You're absolutely right. All the billionaires have too much gold and art, and they need to put it at the bottom of the Marianas Trench.
Thank you. It's very good. And the only person, because you know this great scene where they're like, shark, it's too late, like they have to stop it. Oh yes, the elevator goes down, right, drops from the yacht to the place, and they have to get it. There's a certain moment where it's far enough from the yacht that nobody will know that it's been taken.
Here's what it is. It's the signal crossover where it switches from the close range like broadcaster to the long range, and there's a 5 second gap of communications. Yes. Where it switches,
and the pressure's not too high that it'll kill you either, because then you have this epic moment at the end where it's like they miss it, and all the gold's dropping, and the shark's like swimming down. They're like, don't go down here, further
explode, sharky.
You'll die, it's too strong or whatever. Anyways,
okay, so what you're proposing is that okay, so if I understand this correctly, there's a bank at the bottom of the ocean on the Marianas Trench that for some reason is now the hot spot to deposit your money and move your offshore accounts like the Seychelles or whatever, right?
Yes.
And maybe international it's waters. If you want to have it both ways, maybe it's literally like the problem with the Cayman Islands is that the fucking IRS can go take a boat to the Cayman Islands and get your papers, right? The IRS doesn't have a submarine. They can't get to the Marianas Trench. Only rich people can get to the Marianas Trench.
Yes. And it's international waters. There's no law.
And also maybe it's a little secret. It's a little secret so that not everyone knows it's there. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's true. It could also be a secret. You're right. And this is the whole thing.
It's a little bit like putting a hat on a hat.
Was that incredible line in The Simpsons? The I have no information about my secret customer's illegal account. Yeah. Oh, wait. Oh, crap. All right. Okay.
Should we take a break? Because, like, this movie is so good that I got to cool down for a second.
All right.
Matt's going to need to cool his jets while we think about.
Take a cold shower.
We've got to steal some money from our. We've got to heist for our sponsors. We've got to steal some money for them by reading ads on our podcast.
All right. We'll be right back.
Let's do it.
Congratulations, you've won a ticket to attend an exclusive opportunity in a relaxing environment with two lovers.
Wow. Well, this sounds like a sort of proposition of sorts, but really it's an ad for our podcast. Wonderful. It's a show we do here on Maximum Fun where we talk about things that we like and things that we're into.
I'm Rachel McElroy, and you just heard Griffin McElroy, and we are excited for you to join us as we talk about movies and music and books.
Things like sneezing or the idea of rain.
Can you get news or information you can use?
Absolutely,
so.
You cannot, because we're here to talk to you about pumpernickel bread.
You can find new episodes on Wednesdays.
So catch the wave!
We're back. You know what's good about this is that we pretty much have this thing, so now we can take the time like professionals and really break the five acts, like really just like get into it.
Really just God. Just luxuriate.
Let's just fucking get into it. Let's talk about this first act. Let's talk about our characters.
All right.
Let's talk about Nicole Kidman. Let's talk about the rest of this heist. We know the shark's the star, it's the poster, but like a heist isn't just two people. Let's flush this out a bit.
The crew. Okay, the crew. So you've got Nicole Kidman, and she is, what do we say about her? She's ex-SeaWorld, or she's... I kind of feel like that's kind of boring, actually. I kind of feel like it's better if she's just a criminal, and the way she met the shark is through, like, a completely strange happenstance.
Yeah.
You know? Although you would want to know, like, what is her backstory as to why, like, she's an aquatic heist specialist.
She's a surfer. She's just a fucking cool-ass surfer. She's essentially Point Break. She's just a rad surfer, beach life. And she got bored because, like, even the biggest waves, she conquered all the biggest waves in the world. She's always looking for a rush. And then she found out that Robin is the ultimate rush. And this is just, she's a junkie.
Do you want to do surfer, or is she, like, is she a diver? Is that how she met the shark? Like, she's like a...
She's a bodyboarder. Nobody even knows what that is. They're like, wait, do you use a board? Use your body so you just swim? You swim.
She could be like, I remember seeing this incredibly cool video of this woman who was like a free diving spear fisher.
Oh, that's cool.
Like
yeah, she, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Like it could be something like that, right? Like, you know, she was a hunter.
She's
you know,
Aquaman,
then, like, you know,
essentially.
She's basically Aquaman, right?
Like, oh, and then she like saved the shark from like a net, and then it's like, you fucking did it. And she's like, whoa, you talk? And thus
I
began.
I like that we don't know anything outside. I don't think we need, like, in Ocean's Eleven, like when they go and they find like one of the, you know, the guy who could crack the safe. The fun of it is just like the implication they worked on jobs before. I don't think we need to do like where they
no you're right yeah, actually it is better story. If we don't know
yes.
if we don't know
yeah that's fair
it's
that's
just
fair,
they both reference
fair.
Tijuana
yes,
and you're like
yes.
I guess something in Tijuana happened and that's how these two met they're just like in TJ right
yes
like, it's like
you also
those.
Don't need to explain too much about how the shark starts speaking or all this other stuff it's just
it's just there's not a scene where Paddington has to get like exposed to nuclear fission material.
Although they very explicitly are like, he went to this crazy part of Peru no one had been to before and found
a talking bear.
And it's like actually a big deal. It's just no one in the movie's particularly fazed by it, but like it is like a big deal.
Yeah.
And to the point about Babe does not literally talk to the humans in Babe. I don't seem to remember.
No,
right?
This is like Ted. You nailed it with the multi-hundred-million-dollar grossing Ted. This is this Ted sequel everybody wanted, not Ted 2. Which did come out, right? Wasn't there a Ted 2?
Yes, there was a Ted 2.
Okay,
I seem to remember hearing it was very bad and kind of racist. So,
makes sense. Just like the first one.
I never saw it. I'm shooting from the hip on that.
Ted was a really good airplane movie. I'll say that.
People flipped hard for Ted, man.
People flipped hard for Ted.
And so, Danny Ocean, like, the emotional hook is that he wants to steal back the heart of his lady love, Miss Julia Roberts. What is the emotional hook, such as it is, for the shark and for Nicole Kidman?
Ooh, what if?
And what's their dynamic? Like, what's their vibe, right? Like, what's their, like...
What if the hook for Nicole Kidman's character is you find out that the reason she's robbing this yacht, Mariana's Trench Super Bank, is, yes, like, obviously the money's good, but if her backstory is, like, what if she did have a relationship with, like, not a Zuckerberg, because he sucks. Well, all billionaires suck. With some billionaire. And it was, like, a messy divorce. And the billionaire is going to put his fortune in the Mariana's Trench. But in his lockbox or whatever is, like, something very important to her. Like, her mom's necklace or just something. Like, it's just, like, that's what she's really robbing is something, like, personal to her. Maybe. Or her and the shark used to bone.
Oh, that's just to back up for a second. The billionaire having something in their vault. Like,
well, I thought we said the billionaire wants the shark. Like, that was a thought at one point.
Yeah.
Was that this was a back when this was a big game hunter and not the CEO of Ocean Bank.
That's other versions just Paddington. I don't think we need to do. I think the fun of Ocean 11 is just.
You're right. Yes.
Heist.
That version of the gritty crime heist with a talking shark is just Paddington. Let's put a pin in the question for her because I think it's a valid question, but this will knock something else loose. What is the hook for the shark? Let's talk about the shark. So the shark is a talking shark. Named Jump, I guess.
Yes,
or
Jump
is
the shark.
It just
yeah, he has to be
Jump
otherwise
the shark.
This
yeah.
episode fails.
Jump, comma, the shark.
Jump the shark. That feels like if it's the title of the movie, it feels like Jump is our main character, right? So let's think shark style for a second.
Okay.
What does this shark want? So the shark was a criminal. What did it do with like its money and stuff? I guess it's like it just has a big treasure hoard under the sea. That's kind of fun. Oh, what if its treasure hoard got stolen? Like, hear me out.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You do the shark again. It's like, why does anyone steal money? Right? Like, it's like the, you know, like, especially once you have enough and you're just piling it up. Is it you do that? So, yes, the shark has been around for a while, right? Because sharks live a pretty long time, don't they? Aren't there like super old sharks? How long do sharks live?
They live a decent amount for.
Sharks live? Oh, 20 to 30 years. I was hoping it'd be like 200 years and he's got like pirate gold.
Greenland sharks can be 512 years old.
Ooh.
When they introduce the shark to the rest of the crew and then like, you know, you'd have probably like a Simon Pegg or something be like, hey, this shark, what does he do this for? Seashells? And the shark like throws a cigarette. He was like, I do it for fucking cold hard cash like the rest of you. And that's all you need. It's like, yeah, the shark wants cash.
Oh.
And you, the audience, is stupid for suggesting, for trying to understand why the shark would want money.
Yeah, there's Greenland sharks, not 500 years old, but they're at least 272 years old.
392-year-old Greenland shark.
Okay, yeah.
Wow. That's fucking crazy. Anyway, so again, it's Ben Kingsley, right? This is an old shark.
Yeah.
So
I've seen Spanish armadas.
Yeah, so basically you have this grizzled shark. Now he's cooped up in SeaWorld. And... again, one version of it is that he used to be a big deal and now he's kind of like living the lap of luxury. He's like, it's not so bad. I'm an old shark. Like, how many heists do I really have left in me now? You know, like they throw fish to me all day and people clap and it's, you know, it's not, it's, you know, like I'm just, he's just waiting to die essentially. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, here's what you do with him. The backstory to the degree was like, this was always a great heist partner. Mm-hmm. One reason was because, yes, as a shark, money was not the primary motivator for the shark. It was the thrill. It was the rush of it. Because, like, you know, he's
the only thing close to tearing a seal apart with your bare teeth is stealing money.
Yeah, like, well, like catching a seal is easy compared to the fucking heist they pulled off.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Nicole Kidman comes to, and he's like, fine, but I get a cut. She's like, a cut? You've never asked for a cut before. Like, what the fuck do you need money for? And then it's like, yes, it's not that he has, like, a daughter or a son or something, but there is somebody at SeaWorld who he has grown to care about, who is on tough times, and his thing is, like, my cut goes to this person, like the one kind person at SeaWorld who's like trying to make it as a marine biologist who wants to study animals and respects them and doesn't think they should fucking jump through hoops.
Everyone in my life has tried to use me.
Yes, exactly. So it's the classic do this for their kid, but it's just the nice person, this nice marine biologist at SeaWorld who's yeah. like is in student debt and is like gonna lose, is like, you know, their parents died and they're all alone and all stuff. He's like, just give the money to her or him or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, okay. And then you find out halfway it's like, oh, the shark's got a heart of gold.
Mm-hmm. All right, okay, all right, I'll buy that. Yeah. I'll buy that for a dollar.
They also give me ice cream occasionally. They feed it to me in the water. It's quite forbidden, but I do it anyway.
It's awful. I shit out all my insides because sharks aren't supposed to have diarrhea.
You find out that he's dying from ice cream disease and he doesn't understand that this person is feeding him the ice cream. All right, so the Greenland shark is like in because he sees the opportunity to help the person at the museum or something like that, right?
Yeah, I think Nicole Kidman still, it's called Sonic the Hedgehog, but like, you need the human to be, like, I think Nicole Kidman's still your
she's the James Marsden.
Yes, yes.
So, Nicole Kidman is, so she's a thief.
Yes.
She's...
Did she just get out of prison like all these movies?
I mean, they always start with them getting out of prison, right?
So she gets out of prison.
Just gotten out of prison.
Can we spice that up? Can it be like space prison? You know what I'm saying? Like, give me some spice.
We just have. What do you need to spice? Ray's the only producer who looks at a talking shark heist movie at the Mariana Stretch. Like, I don't know about this prison. Can we spice this up a little bit? Could it be space prison? Sorry, Frank, this isn't enough for you.
It's not enough.
Hear me out. Hear me out. Hear me out. Hear me out. You could do, rather
I'll
than...
I'll not shy away from that fact.
Rather than that she's just got out of prison, what if you do, she's the apex predator. She's at the top of her game, but she's like a shark. She's got to keep moving or she'll die, right?
I like that.
So you do, like, if anything, you do that, like, she just landed the biggest score of her life. Like, this would be, like, the retirement job for anybody else.
Yeah.
But she's like, no, I got to do another one. Like, she doesn't even think about it, right? So it's like, what's the next thing? Because she's this thrill seeker, right?
Something it could be like a commentary. Like, she kept robbing, and then eventually, like, she finds herself. She's like, yeah, it's just, I was just robbing casinos, and, you know, 30 years later, now I'm the head of a major Silicon Valley multi-billion-dollar company, and it's just like, there's no more worlds left to conquer, sort of thing. And it's just like, she's not happy.
Yeah, they put me on their board and gave me a bunch of shares, and I have more money than I know what to do with, but it's not the thrill.
I like that, because then it's, the return to, like, more petty crime is kind of fun.
I don't think you do that she's, like, not a criminal at the beginning.
That's
like,
true,
I think you do
like
that
her.
she just pulled a huge job in Monaco, and she's just in her apartment, you know, staring at the Mona Lisa, which she just stole,
yeah,
right? Like,
yeah.
And she's just like, you know, you do that whenever she's not on a job, she's restless and she can't, you know, like, she can't settle down, right? So then she's just off to the next thing.
Yeah, she's Pierce Brosnan in Thomas Crown Affair, lonely.
Yeah.
Okay,
and you know,
good.
Okay, so then she is going to, you know, like, so her motivations for doing this heist are, like, purely existential, right? Like, she sees another predator in the water, right?
Yes.
Like, you know, and she hears about the Marianas Trench Bank or whatever the fuck, and then she gets an idea for a job.
So, she hears about this job. Again, it's not, like, hidden that this casino has a lot of money. It's not, has to be, like, she's the only one that knows that this is just, like, it's an impossible job. No criminal can go out into the middle of the ocean and attack this mega yacht. Like, it's a...
So... What if you do then that the backstory with her and the shark is that it's not like they're, but she betrayed him on their last job together, but now he's the only one. He's the key to the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
So you do that. It's like, because again, it's like, you know, she's living this life with no relationships in it, right? Like, no connection to anybody. All she has is just the thrill of the chase, right? And so, like, she, you know, 10 years ago or whatever, like, her, the big score that put her on the map that got her started in her life of crime was with this shark who took her under his wing, and then she screwed him over at the end of the job. Or something like that, right?
No, that's
like
good. Maybe? That's good. They keep referencing that she betrayed him, and like they keep using the word tuna for like, you know, like slang for money.
Mm-hmm.
And then you find out like near the end of the movie when they have their moment, everybody finds out, like, no, that's literally what happened. Is like she promised to always feed him tuna if he got caught, and she tried. And the seaman was like, no,
oh,
you can't
I
bring
love
fish
that.
In
yes.
here. And he's just stuck eating salmon all the time. He hates salmon. And it's like, no, you told me that if I did this, I'd have bluefin tuna for the rest of my life. She's like, I tried. How hard did you try? It's like, it's a regulation. I can't feed you. It's like, you promised. It's not about how hard it is. Is that?
That's very good. Yes, that's the beef. That's the beef for sure. So this is cooking. This is cooking. So what about the rest of this crew? So like, we could reverse engineer the crew.
You know what people forgot about that Happy Days episode is that he fucking landed the jump, which is what we're doing right now. That's what people forget about this phrase.
Yeah, he didn't wipe out, baby.
Okay. So, all right.
So, yeah, that's your intro is, yes, you find this Nicole Kidman's bored stare, like literally staring at the Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
And she's watching the news, and then, like, there's an investigator. He's like, honestly, the only explanation we have is that if aliens took it, it's impossible. Nobody's like,
well, I like, hear me out. You do that literally, no one even knows that it's gone. She replaced it with a forgery, right? So she's got the real Mona Lisa, and then she's just staring at it, and she's like dead to the world, and then she just lights it on fire. She just burns it and goes on to the next thing. She throws it in the dumpster.
She sits down on her chair, and you're like, that's a really big chair. And then you zoom out, and it's the Lincoln Monument, and she's like, ugh. It's like this lady stolen so many things.
Oh no.
And then you cut to a kid at the Lincoln Monument and he hits it and it kind of sounds like paper mache. He's like, it sounds a little hollow. It's like, hey, you're not supposed to touch that. Step down from there. And like, nobody's the wiser. So yeah,
who is the ultimate job?
This lady is very bored. She's looking
that's
for
a, as
kid.
A running gag, like she just has all this like like in the back of her car, she's just got the crumpled up Declaration of Independence. She's just like, oh wow, she's a really good thing.
That's great. That's so good.
Okay,
here, I need something to write the code on. Here, take this. Like, what? Oh my god, it's the Declaration of Independence. Whatever. And don't lose that pen. That's no coward's pen. It's just like, yeah. Okay.
Hold on, I gotta towel myself off on the Shroud of Turin.
Okay, so, yeah, she's the super thief.
All right, so then...
Apex Predator.
So she sees a news story, or she's getting drunk in a casino. Her other favorite pastime is blowing all of her money gambling.
Yes.
So, you know, she's playing Baccarat in Monaco, and someone at the table is bragging about their money being at this stupid thing, and they're like, it's unheistable.
Tiny character, right? Like, she's sitting at this, like, yeah, she's sitting at, like, whatever this, like, Giro fancy level of sushi place, like getting drunk, some guy's hitting on her, she's mm-hmm. eating like $1,000 sushi, and then she's staring at the news story, just a little subtle thing, and somebody's like, okay, and your next dish is tuna, and she goes, no tuna, and she shoves it away, like, why doesn't she like tuna?
Yeah, what a mystery. Yeah,
it reminds her of him.
It really makes you think, man. It really makes you think
that she doesn't like tuna.
Then it's a heist movie.
Yeah,
okay, so movie. All right, let's to zoom out for a second. Let's talk about the villain.
Okay, yes. We need the good mark.
So, I like this person being a big game hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Like an aquatic big game hunter feels like a fun idea, yes. Right? And I do like it involving a submarine of some kind, because it feels like then I get why the shark is there.
Yeah, there's an underwater, like from the yacht to the Marianas Trench, there's like either a submarine or a water elevator or whatever it is. So,
I'm not sold on the bank idea, but it's...
This is Will.
I just feel like you could do. Hear me out. I feel like you could do. He has a gigantic luxury submarine that they play like the most exotic form of dangerous super gambling on, and then all these billionaires show up to his private, you know, submarine to do their gambling in the middle of the ocean, and it's going to be they all have a ton of money, you know, because they all put all the money in the vault before they get their chips to do their crazy gambling.
That's just like a
and then you have like a fun thing where like one of the people on the team has got to be a good gambler to get into the tournament, you know, and like kind of like one of those.
It's all the same. Okay, I mean, yeah, that's fine. It's just a casino underwater.
No, I mean, if you guys are more pumped about the other thing.
I think it's got the lame sort of like social commentary about billionaires, you know, not being people of any nation, just hoarding their money in the deepest, darkest regions of the earth outside of any international law, and then they're going to take it. You're like, okay, yeah, like mm-hmm. take their fucking money.
All right. Well, anyway. Okay. So what's interesting about that then is that you have that, like, where do billionaires put the things that are more valuable than money, right? Like they, you can put your money in a
money bank, in Bitcoin.
Yeah, you can put it in Bitcoin. It can be a couple lines of code on a dumpy, you know, laptop in the Seychelles, right? But like for the things that are priceless, right? Like the really real, and again, because for her, it's not really about the money either. It's about the thrill. It's like they put them in the most secure place on earth, this super vault at the bottom of the Marianas Trench, right?
Yes.
Because it's like everyone has that thing they're afraid of losing. What are you afraid of losing, right? Like it's like kind of a metaphor.
Yeah, that's fun.
And then so she wants to steal, you know, somebody's got like some dumb thing that they've got in there that she wants to steal because it pisses them off. This, you know, Jack Dorsey has an original holographic Charizard. She wants to steal Rosebud, basically. This is like a vault of Rosebuds.
Yes.
And she's going to steal them all.
Well,
and then ransom them back. That's perfect,
oh,
right?
Oh, that's good. That's like, good.
Yeah, because then if you've got all of the billionaires on Earth by the thing they have the most sentiment for, like you can control them,
that's
right?
That's good,
like,
because then you don't even know precisely what it is. It's just framed as the things that they care about more than anything in the world.
And that's great, because then it's almost like Inception with like the item that's in the, like with the totem or whatever, like whatever the thing in the vault is. It's like someone just has like, again, that's like, you know, a pocket watch or like a, you know, an old book or like whatever. Like, it's just these things that they cling to that are like that they have all this meaning attached to, because it was like, yes, that's very cool.
And
actually,
there's like a tragedy to the fact that they're so terrified that they don't even they're never going to enjoy the things that they care about so much. They'd rather just like protect them at all costs and hide them in a
trench.
And
it's for her, you know, for her, her pain is that she lost the one friend she ever really had, which was her grizzled shark mentor. She wants to inflict that pain on the world, but it's also like an excuse to try to make amends with the shark mentor, right? Like if you would do that, this whole heist, this is the double heist, because this is the twist, is that you do that like the same way that like the Ocean's 11 heist is about winning back Julia Roberts. This is about winning back the friendship of the shark.
Here's my pitch for the villain. This is good, or maybe not, but bear with me. To make this movie
It's good.
To make this movie a little sexy, too, a little Thomas Crown affair, the main villain, the Mark, is Thomas Crown. Like, their backstory is Thomas Crown. The Mark is Thomas Crown, but it's the idea that we didn't want for her, which is a heist guy, what do they call it, a heister, a thief, that did end up going straight and becoming, like, a billionaire, like, left the life of crime and is now just a corporate thief and is, like, a banker in the world. And they were together once, like... And then what you do is the turn is not the shark. The thing he values more than anything in the world is her.
Oh, shit. So
he's going to put her in the bottom of the trench because it's like,
it was the ultimate trap. I knew you couldn't resist it.
Yes. And it's like this twisted, and she's still caught onto him, but it's this abusive relationship. He's like, you never went straight. Like, you're still doing a life of crime. Like, it's only a matter of time before you go to prison. Like, you're getting up in the years. Like, we could be together if you just fucking put this aside. So, like, you know, this is for your own good. I'm protecting you. And like, the bottom of the trench is this like house for them or whatever, and they need to save her, and she's gonna get over him, like trap him or whatever.
But hear me out. This is what I would do, though. This is the thing I would do. I would do that, but it's not quite as Snidely Whiplash, where he's literally gonna trap her here against her will.
True.
It's literally like he's just gonna offer her like a happy life.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like he's just offering her like love and like the happy life of like what he's offering her is objectively the right thing, but from the POV of the movie, it's like, no, don't do it. Go be a cool shark heist.
In that case, you need to do the maker is just a dweeb, so the audience doesn't like them. It's like the person's totally reasonable. It's like, look, I went straight. Like, I'm not robbing anybody. Well, no, because it's a corporate maniac. But yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, it's not literally.
I don't know. But that is very interesting. There is something there for sure. Yes, that it's like, yeah.
Isn't the shark like diving deep, like fighting the pressure as it's in order to save her or whatever? Is good. And then it ends with like literally her hanging onto the shark and her riding the shark like a SeaWorld person, you know, leaping out of the water or whatever and escaping or something. But anyways, okay, so like a past fling is,
and I love the idea that it is like, oh, it is, you can absolutely, that's actually a very good hook for a heist, which is like your ex-partner has gone straight and is now like has built a bank to protect rich people's stuff. Because
yes.
It's like, it pisses you off that they went straight and they think that they're better than you, and they are also using all the skills that you learned with them to build a cool bank that's unbreakable, and then it is literally like an irresistible bait to be like, yeah, well, I'm gonna fucking steal from your bank because I know everything about you, right? Like, it's a very good hook.
Oh, no, and rather than making toxic, actually, because these movies, they should be fucking sexy, because like, it's better if is just sex. It's Nicole Kidman and who? It's like, it's fucking, I don't know, who would be a good pair off for Nicole Kidman? It's whatever, some hot...
Gerard Butler.
Yeah, no, he needs a good movie. He's fucking good. Yeah, it's Gerard Butler, and what it is when she breaks into the thing, is like, she can't help but wonder what's in his, you know...
Oh, because she finds out he has a box.
And it's an engagement ring that he was going to give her. And then it's like, it should definitely end with they just get together with all the money in the world on this, like, power yacht. And then the shark, like, I want it to be like, you want them to get together. Like, kind of like Thomas Crown Affair.
Yeah. So you're saying it's the Preston Sturges kind of ending.
Yes. Because that's more fun. And they just take all the money from all the billionaires and this power couple of heisters that found each other after years. And she gives the shark all the tuna in the world. Yes, it ends with them on this power yacht. And who's that swimming alongside them? The shark. And they're tossing them just $1,000 cuts of bluefin tuna. The most indulgent ending.
And it's like at some point earlier on, they're like, hey, you know that, like, we're going to run out of tuna. Like, sushi's going to not be a thing, like, maybe in our lifetime.
I hope I'm dead by then. The shark just keeps swimming. Like, yes, like, I'm pumped for this movie.
All right. I think that's a flick, right?
Yeah, that's pretty damn good.
Jump the shark.
It's me, Jump.
And it has that guy, that voiceover guy. Oh, and one last scene we need to do, which is, what is the fourth wall breaking CG shark looking at the camera line?
He says, I'm a big fan of Story Break.
And then Van Halen's jump plays as he dives out of the water. Sure. And it freeze
Here's
frames.
How you get the audience to cheer at the end of this movie is, like, you get a bunch of fun character actors to play all these, like, billionaires that are here at the super yacht. Mm-hmm. And then after, like, you know, they, like, they say yes or whatever, they, you know, they're the two of them are together. They're driving off on their super yacht and it's completely empty except for the two of them and then the shark. Mm-hmm. And then you have this, like, there should be a character that's, like, one of the servants on the yacht who's, like, been mistreated by all these billionaires. And, like, they walk up and, like, serve them the big 1,000 cuts of tuna. And the servant's like, hey, it's so nice that you two are here. Where did everybody else go? And then the two of them look at each other and they raise an eyebrow. And then you cut to the vault at the bottom of the Mariana Trench. And all the billionaires are there. They're like, let us out. And the movie ends like, hell yeah. Not only did they steal
like,
the
oh,
money.
Oh, we will.
Oh, we will.
Once you give us that money.
Yes, it's good. Nope, nothing anybody like that's perfect.
And we're gonna take all your money and establish worldwide universal healthcare. Suck it. That's great. It wouldn't be a Story Break movie without shitting
universal.
On billionaires.
Yes. Hey, it's fucking populous. Everybody loves it. This is good. All right.
Okay, this is very fun.
That was great.
That's a good one.
We did it.
Kangaroo Jack Makers, next time call us if you need to transform your movie to an animal.
If you need a $500 million hard R comedy about a talking shark.
All right. I'm very proud of that one.
We would be able to be such a good way for people to launder their money if you think about it.
Yes, if there's any 100 millionaires or billionaires listening that want to launder some money, we're more than willing to make a movie for
We're
less
looking
money.
For a good tax write-off.
We're looking for a tax write-off. Please come to us. We'll make any one of the movies that you have enjoyed on this show. Anyone. Even the ones we don't like, we'll make it for you.
How dare you? We like all of our
movies.
I love
all
of my children equally.
But this one the most of all.
Well, speaking of our children, how's that fan art going?
That's what we call our Story Break fans.
If you're in the Story Break fandom, you're our children.
You're children's. Yeah, we call ourselves children.
Oh, no, right. We don't do that. We got some, as you could imagine, some, as the kids say, dank memes from our memes episode. So,
yay, dank memes, yay.
Thanks. I'm going to rip through a lot of these. Thanks to Keith Newman. Thanks to Sokami on Twitter. Thanks to Smalls on Twitter for giving us a very good Are You Winning Son poster that's super hard-boiled. And Raina Warnert on Twitter as well gave us a VGHS-themed version of the frickin' Are You Winning Son meme.
Oh, I saw that. That was so good.
Thanks, everyone, for submitting your funny memes for our very, very silly episode. Also, I did want to propose the first ever Story Break retraction.
Whoa.
Okay.
Multiple people have pointed out to us now that if you look at the actual series of stock photo images from Distracted Boyfriend, there's a sequence of them wherein after dumping his girlfriend for the other girl, he gets dumped again, and then the two girls fall in love and get married. This is the canon series of stock photo images. So I would like to propose a Story Break retcon retraction wherein, in our version of the story, we have the wife's fantasy as they're going through the thing, and I think that should be the wife's fantasy version of the story, like when her distracted boyfriend is, you know, cheating on her. So I think that's canon. We're folding that into the story break canon because that's too good. It's very,
little
very good.
Did we know that we were doing a story break of an already perfect movie that was done via stock footage.
That was literally the meme that Sokami tweeted us, was that the distracted story boys looking at Double Daddy, and then it's like me confused about why they're not making a gay rom-com. So there you go. Story break regrets the error. I always love it when they say that after the retraction. It's like, dang, we regret this one. Anyway, that is the fan art. You can check out all these lit memes at twitter.com/rjstorybreak and at bit.ly/storybreakfb.
Thanks also to MaximumFun.org for being our podcast network. The podcast network to end all podcast networks. Jesse, let me know what you think about that tagline. You can head over to MaximumFun.org. to figure out what your next podcast obsession is going to be. That's going to do it for us this week. We did it. I guess it's all downhill from here, boys.
Yep.
My name is Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos.
My name is Matt Arnold. And nah, man, I think Jump the Shark, we took it back. Jump the Shark's the new Carpe Diem. So everybody, today, jump that shark.
Jump that shark.
Jump that shark.
I can remember as a child thinking it was odd that here was this can full of meat.
I'm Jesse Thorne. This week on my show Bullseye, David Letterman on shame, regret, and canned hams.
Is this the best delivery version of pork?
That's this week on Bullseye from MaximumFun.org and NPR.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.